Good morning. Glad to see everybody here this morning. I know the one person that's the most thrilled to be here this morning, and that would be my dad. But I want to thank you, everybody, for allowing us to do this. I know this church overwhelms them each October, showing your appreciation, but this is something that me and my siblings wanted to do. So thank you for letting us do this. And thank you for the guests that have come in as well. And thinking about a scripture to start off with, automatically, obviously, my thoughts went to John 1:6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. But on a more serious note, I kept reading, and verse 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name." Children of God, which then caused me to go to Romans chapter 8. "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so, be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." Children and being adopted into his family, heirs with Christ. Then I went to 1 Peter 1:4, "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." The service this morning, we're going to spend a little bit of time honoring the years of service of my parents. But I also want us to remember the wonderful life we are able to live in service to our King as children of God with an inheritance incorruptible. I want to live in the light of eternity. That's where I'm heading. That's what I'm working for. That's what I'm hoping for. We serve a wonderful God, and I praise him this morning for that. We're going to go to prayer. Just ask the Lord to help us this morning. And then Dave Hillegoss is going to come lead us in some singing. Father, we give you praise this morning for your goodness. We're thankful that we are going to be adopted into your family, children of God, and become heirs with Christ. And that inheritance is incorruptible, fadeth not away when we believe in you. Thank you for all your blessings, your presence in our lives, how you guide us each step of the way. Blessing the service this morning. May your will be done, and we'll just give you praise for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, wonderful singing. And right there with you, Dave. I love that. I love that orchestra, band, music, whatever you want to call it. Kind of miss it. But I thank you all for your singing. Praise the Lord for all that he's done. And look back over my short life, and it kind of amazes me of what he's done, where he's taken me, what he's allowed me to do, and what he has me doing. That is amazing all in itself. But we're going to spend a little bit of time praying this morning. I want to spend some time praying as a church family, because I still consider you all a little bit of my family, because I'm still kind of home. We're going to spend some time praying. I'm not going to go over all of y'all's prayer list. If it's anything like my prayer list at my church, it's kind of long, so many things to pray for, but there's also many things to thank the Lord for, and it's just good for us to pray together. So I'm going to ask my father-in-law, Dwayne Quisenberry. It's good to have him and Valerie here this morning. So I'm going to ask him to come and lead us in prayer this morning.
Will you stand with me as we pray together this morning? Father, it's a joy to come together on this Sunday morning to be in your house with fellow believers. Already we have sensed your presence that is here with us on this first day of the week. And Lord, we wouldn't want to be anywhere else but here today on this morning, thanking you and praising you for your faithfulness and your goodness that is at work in our lives today. Lord, we thank you for the blessings that you give to each one of us. We don't deserve those, but we are grateful. We realize, Lord, that in a congregation of this size and even smaller, there are many needs that are present among us. And Lord, we come to church this morning to worship you, to be in your presence, to receive from you. But Lord, we also wouldn't want to pass this opportunity to ask that, Lord, you would lift our load and help us bear the burdens that you have allowed to come into our lives. We don't always understand. But Lord, we trust you as our Heavenly Father, and we are confident that you care for us, that you're mindful of each need that is here today. And we believe that you have the grace that is sufficient for our needs. And so one more time, Lord, probably again, many of us have asked already about these, but one more time, we're praying for healing touches, for wisdom and decisions, for healing to damaged relationships, Lord, for guidance in situations, for grace, for spiritual victory and growth and strength, Lord. We turn to you as the source of all that is, and we acknowledge that today, and we ask for your help. Father, we are grateful for the special occasion that brings some of us together today. We thank you, Lord, that in your sovereign plan, you chose the church. And Lord, you also chose to have an under-shepherd who would love and care and would be, Lord, the go-between, Lord, as it were, to lead your people in local congregations. We're thankful that many years ago, Lord, you put your hand on John and Leanne Ziegler. We don't know the story, but Lord, we are confident that you were there and you were at work. And we're glad, Lord, today for their lives. We benefit from them. Myself, Lord, have been blessed through their friendship and their influence. And, Lord, I know that could be repeated throughout this sanctuary today. And, Lord, we come, first of all, just to say thank you for John and Leanne and for their family, Lord, today. We ask that your blessings, Lord, would continue to rest upon them. We, Lord, realize that in 30 years of faithful ministry, there have been moments of joy. And Lord, for those, we acknowledge that you are the source for all of that. And we are grateful to you for your hand that has been upon their lives. And Lord, your grace that has enabled and equipped their ministry. But Lord, we also know there have been trials along the way. There have been hard places. There have been lonely moments. There have been difficulties. And Lord, it has been your presence that has been unfailing and faithful. And Lord, we are grateful for your grace that has sustained them and brought them to the place that they are. They are mature saints. They are wise, Lord, leaders. And Lord, they are faithful and true. And Lord, that faithfulness in itself is just a testament to your goodness and grace. And so, Lord, today we come to pray that this day will be a special blessing upon them. And Lord, we thank you for this church, the Wise Ball Community Church. What a joy it is every time we get to come. And we see that you are at work here in this place. And Lord, we are grateful for that. And we just pray that, Lord, not only looking back, we're grateful, but Lord, looking ahead, we are anticipating what you're doing, the ground that's being prepared just outside these walls. Lord, it excites us. And Lord, it is a monument to your grace. And Lord, we come today asking for continuing blessings and strength for the days that are ahead. We will thank you and we will praise you for all that you have done and what you're going to do. We trust you with it, Lord. In Jesus' name, we ask these things. Amen. Amen. You may be seated.
As you came into church today, you might have noticed the family pictures by the tree. The one on the right is obviously fairly recent, Thanksgiving to be exact. The one on the left was taken 30 years ago on our first Sunday at Evansville Pilgrim Holiness Church. A lot has changed since then. My mom's hair has changed colors. My dad's blonde hair has diminished, gotten a bit thin. And then a little over a year after that photo, another child was added to the family. And of course, we kids grew up. I was 3 and a half when we moved to Evansville. Jonathan was 2. For me, life in the parsonage was normal. This is all due to how my parents raised us. Yes, we were the pastor's family, but I didn't really understand how that made me different from others. To me, it was normal. My parents raised us to be good Ziegler kids, not just good pastor's kids. I think that made a difference. Something else I want to point out. Dad and Mom didn't talk about church problems in front of us or with us. I didn't know that so-and-so did this or that so-and-so had that skeleton in their closet. As young children, we didn't need to know those things. But as teenagers, some situations were used as teaching moments without bad-mouthing the people involved. Even then, there are things that have happened over the last 30 years that I will never know, and I'm probably better for it. I have learned many things from my parents related to ministry. From my dad, how to serve. If you see that something needs done, do it. I don't even think about it sometimes. It's second nature. Cleanup needs to happen, do it. You just jump right in and get it done. From my mom, kind of along the same lines, but how to be a good hostess. She has hosted so many people in her home, from evangelists, missionaries, like the Victory Trio when they stayed on the property in Evansville for several weeks, or the Knights as they were home from the Far East on deputation and they stayed on the property for a long time. And this training came in handy when my grandma was dying and we were in the middle of revival. She went to Madison and I took over. From them both, be willing to help in any capacity. A song needs sung? Sure, I can do that. A service needs led? Of course, no problem. Someone needs to play the piano? Yes, I can do that. And any of these tasks can be done at a moment's notice. In closing, I have never not liked being raised in a pastor's home. My parents never made it hard or embarrassing. It was a normal life to me. And I'm proud to say that I was raised by Pastor and Sister Ziegler.
I didn't confirm this story with him, but I believe it started when Dad was up in some kind of a tree. And he saw something that I think he said looked like the continent of Africa. And he felt like that's where he was called to. I believe that's where his ministry calling began. I don't know how old he was. But it was January 7th, 1995. John Ziegler went to bed but didn't sleep much. As he put it, I was sweating bullets. See, the next morning he would stand in the pulpit as pastor for the very first time. Has he always felt qualified for the position? No, but did he do his best and strive to please the Lord and fulfill his calling? Absolutely. And he's probably said this before too. God qualifies the called. I remember how he's talked about how he would spend hours upon hours in the early years in his study, sermon prepping, and even how he would record his sermons and go back and listen and critique himself. And since he didn't like the way he sounded, he would change the EQ a little bit so he didn't really hear his voice. But he did that so he'd become better. And as the years went by, I do not know how many lives he has influenced for Christ. He has been faithful to preach the word, visit his people, go places to remind somebody that Jesus loved them when they found themselves in the quote-unquote gutter. He's been like Jesus when, he bent down and pulled up the one caught in adultery and said, "Go and sin no more. My Father loves people." In the past 30 years, he has served as pastor, evangelist for some youth camps and revivals at home and abroad, Pilgrim Youth Camp director for over 20 years. He's been a landscaper, substitute school teacher, Bible school board member, and a jack of all trades. Construction, plumbing, roofing, carpet, electrical, bricklaying, gutters. I think even Mom got to work on the gutters some. Was I in that picture too? Weren't you like pregnant when you were doing that? Yeah, see, even I helped. we start early in the preacher's home. Well, let's not forget how he would eat last, because he went around with a coffee pot at Pitchin serving others. In addition to all these credentials, John Ziegler was a dad and now a pappy. He was scary to study my spelling words with, but I don't think I ever wondered or doubted if my father loved me. Yeah, he taught me how to do many things. He always encouraged me to do my best and go above and beyond the call of duty. When I went away to college, I remember him kind of sitting me down and say, do your best, go above and beyond. If you're called to shovel the sidewalk, make sure you do the whole thing, not just a path. Taught me to see what needs done and go do it. To always remember his old saying, remember who you are. Which as a youngster, I just thought, remember that you're my kid, watch yourself. But quickly I realized that's not what he meant. He meant that I was representing Jesus and things that I did, how I acted, what I said. And we can't forget about Mom. Many times a wife can make or break in career ministry. I know Mama's main focus was raising her children, but she has always been by Dad's side, helping in any way she needed. She even went with him to those few places, those unpleasant places, to show the love of Jesus. And she has been a master in the kitchen. Even when it's a complete experiment, you know, she still masters it. And being a wonderful hostess. My father-in-law, PR director at GBS, he still claims that her to-go snack was the best ever. And I don't know, you're a pretty good cook, Pops. I don't know if you claim that title. Mom wasn't there. She also was needed to play the piano during the Evansville years. So that meant us kids were left on the front seat. And so if Dad would catch my eye, I knew what was going to happen. Because I didn't like sitting on the platform with him. So Pops, Mama, I want to say thank you for your faithful service, example you have set, influence you have made in so many lives. You may not believe us when we say this, and you really don't have to. It really doesn't matter. It doesn't change the fact that there will be many faces in heaven because of you and your willingness to let the Lord use you. Dave and Connie Hilligoss, as you guys prepare to sing, Dave and Connie have been there since the beginning. That's kind of why I chose to invite them to come do this. She taught music and speech in college days or whatnot. But they also helped them move down to Evansville in the snow. They stayed over that Sunday. And they have basically been like family to us down through the years. I think they said they even sang the first, if not one of the first, revival meetings down there. So it's an honor to have them here this morning and sing this special song.
Well, before we begin, 30 years ago, in fact, 30 plus years ago, John and Leanne became our friends. And of course, as has been said, Connie was actually their teacher, or at least John's teacher.
Both
of them, okay. So there we are. That kind of explains where we're at in the age group. I just retired this year, so yes, that tells you where we're at. But 30-plus years ago, we helped John Leanne load a U-Haul truck, filled everything, put everything in their truck, and followed them through snowy weather to Evansville. And made it there in about, I think, maybe 5 hours or so, when it should have been about four, but the snow just was really bad. But got there and got them moved in, and spent the night on a mattress that night, and then the next day helped them together, put it all together, pictures on the wall and everything. I made sure before I left on Sunday to turn one of those pictures upside down. to make sure she was awake, you know. So we had to do that. But so many memories flood my mind today. Our friendship has been just a wonderful thing to know John Leanne. And as you've known them as pastor and hopefully friend, the Lord has blessed them and their ministry. And we count it a privilege to be here this morning. Now, the song we're singing this morning, we've tweaked it just a little bit to kind of to be a John Ziegler song this morning. So we're singing it to them and singing it especially to Brother John.
You dreamed your life was done, and you stood before God's Son. It was time to see what your reward would be. With love he reviewed your life to count what was done for Christ, for that was what would last eternally. You'd done your best to share that Jesus really cares, and he would say if they just believe. But seldom did harvest come, so few did you see one, until the Lord said, turn around and see. Then he showed you the faces of the ones who've come because of you. So many faces that your life had led to Calvary. All those years you thought nobody saw, as you labored in lowly places, that's when Jesus smiled and showed you all their faces.
He said, though you did not see only you, you were faithful to plow the field.
At other times, you helped plant the seed. No matter how small the task, you did just as I asked. And thanks to you, these souls have been set free. Then he showed you the faces of the ones who come because of you. So many faces that your life had led to Calvary. All those years you thought nobody saw, as you labored in lonely places, that's when Jesus smiled and showed you all their faces. And for those years you thought nobody saw, as you labored in lonely places, one day he'll smile and show you all their faces.
Hallelujah.
it's not true of just the person that stands behind the pulpit. It's for every one of us if we're faithful to do what he wants us to do. And I don't know how it's going to go in heaven, but the principle of that song is so true. You may not know all that we have done for Christ in this life, but it'll be worth it. And I don't think I would have answered the call to pastor if I saw Dad one day give up and say it wasn't worth it. Then I would say, oh, there's nothing to this. I'm not going to do it either. So faithful service leaves a legacy. And hopefully people then from us kids ministry, wherever through life they go. I'm way out in Iowa right now. Doesn't matter if Dad ever gets the credit necessarily. It's faithful service that leaves a legacy that will make a difference for eternity. The song said, no matter how small the task, well, Dad's been faithful to do that. He'd rather do those, I think. But Dad was ordained Pilgrim Holiness Church while Eugene Gray was president in 1996. And asked Brother Nichols, current president of Pilgrim Holiness Church, to come today to be a part of this. Dad was ordained alongside with Brian Line that year. He pastors up in Bedford now. And asked Brother Nichols to come today and do a little presentation at this time.
Well, good morning. And on behalf of the conference, I want to thank the Wiseball Church for your participation over a number of years in camp meeting and youth camp and your support in that regard. I followed Reverend J.B. Zeitz to Lima, where he had pastored for a number of years, and understood that he pastored here. And I doubt if there's anybody here this morning that would have been there when Reverend Zeitz pastored. Were you here then? Do you remember that? I've got a picture of them over here at the old parsonage, wherever that was. And so it's kind of fascinating. But it's a joy to be here today to honor Pastor John from God and Leanne. He always calls me Bishop, so I'll have a new name for him now. But I am thankful for his ministry. You know, 30 years as a pastor anymore is an incredible amount of time. And when you consider the number of ministers that leave the ministry daily for various reasons, it's incredible. And to be what? Close to 15 years in the same place, or maybe over that now, is highly unusual. And so we're thankful for our pastoral family here for the many years. And he did something that probably not, something that I could not do. He pastored a number of my in-laws in Evansville. Was Sister Rui treasure when you were there? Gone by that time. She was my wife's mother's oldest sister. And Rui Golden was her name. And she was treasure for many years. And the Burrises and all. And the impact they made there is still visible today, because he still has contact with a lot of the people who probably don't attend church there, but they look to him for pastoral contact from time to time. And Brother John, we're indebted to you for that as well on our family side. You've been called back for a number of funerals and had influence that way as well. But I suspect the closest look that I had at his ministry was his position as our youth director for the Pilgrim Holiness Church Conference. And there he took his position very seriously. And I watched year after year as he led services and was open to the leadership of the Holy Spirit and welcomed the interaction of the young people, both seeking God and testifying to victories won. And the youth camp grew largely during those 20 years. And we are so thankful for his ministry and the faithful ministry of his wife alongside and the good family that he has raised. It's really a tribute to Brother John and Sister Leanne. And so on behalf, I'd like for you and your wife, Brother John, if you would come forward. I'd like to present you a plaque at this time in recognition of 30 years of dedicated ministry as pastor, Pilgrim Holiness Church Conference, January 8, 1995, I have here. You said 96, maybe?
No, 96 was ordained.
He was ordained in 96, all right. To January the 8th, 2025. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. It's a real joy this morning, brother, to give you a plaque to sit alongside of the plaque you got for youth camp director a few years ago during COVID. Anybody remember that camp up at Kokomo? What a year. What a year. A joy to have you. And my wife has a presentation for Sister Ziegler as well.
Well, I've been a pastor's wife for over 50 years now, and I was raised in a parsonage also, so it just came natural. And I've thought about Leanne Ziegler so many times over the years. She is, in my opinion, and she's never been my pastor's wife, but I've watched her from afar. And in my opinion, she has been the epitome of a wonderful pastor's wife because she works right beside her husband, and she uplifts him and supports him and has raised a wonderful family. And to me, that just shows what a wonderful pastor's wife she has been. I want to honor her today because you would not have the pastor that you have if you didn't have the wife standing beside him. I've known her. Actually, I've known Leanne for over 30 years, but was very close friends with her mother. And she has just walked right in her mother's footsteps. And her mother was a wonderful pastor's wife. And so I just want to honor her today. Sometimes the pastor's wife is sort of hidden in the shadows, but she has been a wonderful, wonderful example to our younger pastor's wives in our conference. And I just want to say today that I love her dearly. Thank you.
So many things I think I could say, but I don't think I will. But thank you, Brother and Sister Nichols, for doing that. If Jonathan and Janae would get ready, I don't know if this is going to be a blessing or not to you, Dad, but we're gonna try to sing. Jesus.
likeness shining forth in me. I want to be like Jesus. He spent his life in doing good. I want to be like Jesus in lowly paths of service trod. I want to be like Jesus. He sympathized with hearts distressed. He spoke the words that cheered and blessed. He welcomed sinners to his breast. I want to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. All I ask, to be like him, all through life's journey, from earth to glory. All I ask, to be like him, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. All I ask, to be like him, all through life's journey, from earth to glory. All I ask, to be like him. I have one deep, supreme desire, that I may be like Jesus.
That chorus, to be like Jesus, has significance in our family after every night of family devotions. As soon as we say the amen in prayer, we'd start into that chorus, to be like Jesus. It probably got old to us kids after a while, but it certainly drilled us and drilled it into our minds. And I don't know, maybe it just kind of became the theme of our home, that we wanted to be like Jesus. It wasn't about us. You know, we're not doing, you know, Dad's not doing this job for the money. He's not doing this job because he wants to live in the heart of Evansville. Then eventually he got to live out here, you know, where he can get stuck in the snow. But he, sorry, I shouldn't have mentioned that. But I was there to get him out. Okay. But I believe that's my dad's desire, and he taught us to have that desire as well. I've asked Reverend Tim Wyford to come and speak this morning. Dad and, as we sometimes call him, Uncle Tim, they've known each other since middle school and became best friends in college. Mom and Dad, Tim and Liz, they're in each other's weddings about a week apart. And basically he's been Dad's best friend for all these years. And so when I thought about who to come and speak, he was the first one that entered my mind. So it's good to have Reverend Tim Wyford here this morning. He pastors up in Anderson. And turn this over to you, and you can end however you wish.
Caleb, what a privilege and an honor it is to be here today with the Ziegler family and all of you. If you're still awake, say amen. Amen. If you're ready for some good stories, say amen. I promise to honor the Lord today and to exalt him. I also promise to share some things with you that you have never heard before. When Caleb reached out to me, you know, about the privilege to come here today, I said we'll do our best. And thankfully, he did not set any boundaries, any guardrails on what I could or could not share. And that's really great for me. I don't know that John will ever have the privilege to do this, you know, vice versa, someday for me. So here we go. Let's start with a scripture. That's a solid place to start, right? Let's look, first of all, at the faithfulness of God. Because really what we're celebrating today is the faithfulness of God. Would you agree? How many agree that God is faithful? The Bible says, even to 1,000 generations. And that is very comforting to know this morning, because this generation is facing new challenges. Our pastors and our ministers are facing new challenges, and yet we stand on the promise, the fact, not only a promise, but the fact that God gives us His word that He will be faithful. The word faithful is defined as true, loyal, steadfast, or consistent. And then I discovered the next word that I think is the best definition, and that is trustworthy. And how vitally that important that is for a pastor or a minister to have that testimony, that reputation, that they're trustworthy. In Deuteronomy 7, in verse 9, the scripture reads, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations." Psalm 36, "Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and Thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds." Psalm 89, "I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known Thy faithfulness to all generations." And so we believe and we accept the reality of God's word and the fact that God is a faithful God. But the reality is, we look for an affirmation. We look for a testimony in the lives of men and women around us who claim to be Christ followers to prove His faithfulness in their lives, and then today especially as we think of the Ziegler's and their ministry. So God is faithful, and He calls us to be like Him. Maybe you could think of it this way this morning. Faithfulness is godliness. Faithfulness is godliness. And since He calls us to be like Him, He also calls us, as Mr. Bonhoeffer said, when Christ calls a man, He bids him come and die. That's true for all the Christ followers in this house, but it's especially true for the ministers of the Word and those who shepherd the flock of God. My heart was drawn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Verses 1 and 2, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Faithful to that trust that God gives him. Faithful to not abuse it or violate it. Not to shirk duty, but to show up and be faithful to the call of God. I read what the apostle said. He said, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that He hath counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." And I believe that would be Brother Ziegler's testimony this morning and all the ministers in the house. Thank God for the privilege to serve. Thank God for the privilege to be faithful in this generation. I first met the Ziegler family in December of 1979. My parents were dairy farmers in West Central Ohio, and they felt the call of God, God stirring their hearts to a transition, possibly to go to Bible college. My dad wasn't really clear on how God was leading, and so he got the bright idea to visit Penview Bible Institute. And it happened over the Christmas break, I believe is when it happened. I haven't verified all this information with John. He's drawing a blank this morning. He's giving me that. I don't know. But I'm pretty sure it was during the Christmas break. And so we made our way to Penview from Ohio and met the Raymond Ziegler family. Now, there were several kids in that family, just like there was in our family. I thought today, what did we eat? I have no clue. I don't even remember where we stayed. I just know we had a lot of fun. and I met a friend for life. I do remember exploring Jack's Mountain. How many of you have been to Penn View and you know about Jack's Mountain? I remember exploring there, and John was the tour guide. He knew that place inside out. Before we went to the mountain, he and his older brother made sure they informed us that there were black bears in that neighborhood, in that community. And now here we are, kids from the flat country in Ohio. I mean, they've got us half scared. We're going up to the mountain. I mean, what kind of a pastor would do that to his friend? Well, you see, I knew him before he was a pastor, so he wasn't fully sanctified, you know, half glorified, all that good stuff. I remember, I don't know if John remembers this, as we were exploring the mountain, we would call it a ground blind, a hunting blind now. Someone had removed branches off of a pine tree and formed some kind of a nice, very neat little place to hide, I guess, from the animals. All those fun memories. We went home after that visit with a lot of great memories, and that move never materialized. God never opened that door. And so there's this gap in time. Now, young people, I know you have texting. I know you have social media. I know you stay connected in these days. We didn't have all those opportunities, all those gadgets. And so there was a gap, years of time. God led me to Union Bible College in the summer of 1986. Matter of fact, I was one of those odd students, Brother Quisenberry, that shows up in the middle of the summer. Now, I don't know if that happens on a Bible college campus anymore, but I had been accepted as a work student, and Brother James Sutherland was the president of the college at that time, and he called me and he said, "Hey, we need some strong farm boys to help us build a building." They were in the process of starting to construct the William Smith Memorial Building. "Would you be willing to come and work across the summer?" And of course, I answered yes. I was ready to get away from the farm and all the work on a dairy farm and go start my own life. That's when I met Logan Westrick, Papa Westrick, as we would often refer to him in the dorm. And yet, it was kind of an empty campus at that time of the year. It was late June. That's when I first made the trip to Anderson to go to the Pilgrim Holiness Camp, and there would be Leanne's family, and all those connections begin to form. And it was close to school time, about the time for the campus to come alive. In my mind, I can remember walking those steel beams on that building. I was thinking about that this week. We did that without any safety equipment. Man. Look back on some of the things we did. I'm looking across campus, and there's this tall, lanky, handsome young man get out of his sports car. In those days, we would say they were souped up. Now, does anybody understand that language here at Wiseball? They were souped up. Today, we'd say they were modified. A mid-1970s model Ford Granada, brown in color, four-door. Great ministry vehicle. Basic. There wasn't a modification one on that thing. That's the memory I have in my mind. We got to reconnect. After those years of first meeting, we reconnected. And lo and behold, we had the privilege to work with Brother Logan Westrick. He was the dean of men. John and I were RAs in the dorm. We always kept the rules. He covered the downstairs of that dorm. I was in the upstairs of that dorm. I remember distinctly one night we decided to celebrate. This is your faithful pastor. Brother and Sister Westrick worked off campus to supplement their income, and so they were out cleaning real estate offices one night, and we decided to shoot some bottle rockets and whatever off the second floor of that dorm. Now, y'all thought we were really spiritual people. We were. We were just young people. Well, there was a dear, dear saint. Did you hear that? A dear, dear saint who lived just behind that dorm. There was a basketball court, and a row of mobile homes maybe, and then a house. Bless her memory. Dear Sister Bowden got a little bit stirred at our celebration. I still have in my mind's eye these two dignified RAs working for Brother Logan Westreak and keeping everything calm on campus while he is away, trying to, you know, keep the wolf away from the door and try to earn some income. And he gets a phone call. How in the world she ever reached him, I have no clue, because that was before the days of cell phones. And the next thing you know, there's a red Ford Tempo spinning its way into campus, and we all dive in our beds. Oh, the fun memories we have together. I don't know how we got out of that one. I do know there were a number of times we pranked Brother Westrick. This is your faithful pastor. We prayed together. We worshiped together. We finally moved off campus. Liz and I were married in the summer of 1988, and John and Leanne no doubt helped us do some work on that old house. I don't remember. Some of those days are kind of foggy when I look back at them, but it seemed like we were together a lot. They graduated before I did, and John got a job at Kaufman Products. I was employed there, and I could see very quickly when I first met him on campus, I knew there was leadership potential. I could see it. Kaufman Products noticed that, and they said, here's a young man that we want on our team. Remember, he has a call to ministry. There are crossroads in all of our journeys where we make choices, and I'm so grateful today that God gave John and Leanne the courage to answer the call, to walk away from all that that company promised and offered. We're talking about being faithful to the call of God. I mean, we shared so many memories together. Do y'all remember the blue living room suit we ended up with? That beautiful blue furniture. I was asking my sweetheart about that in the last few hours, and she said, yes, and remember the end tables. We got the whole kit and caboodle. That went with us to our first pastorate. Of course, we went off into the ministry, and the Ziegler's went to Evansville, and I was thrilled when I heard that God had led them there and opened the door for them. And that was in my wife's home area. So whenever we were down in the Princeton area, in the Evansville area, we would pop in and visit. I remember when they were working on that multi-purpose building. I remember those little kiddos running around. You know, our families are growing by that point in time. And it always seemed like Janae had the upper hand. Is it still that way? Oh, it's not. Okay, thank you, John. Is it still that way? I don't think so. Our kids played together. We had fun together. God led us off to pastor in South Carolina. I had to confirm this date this week. I couldn't remember what year it was, but we wound up in Gatlinburg together, having a little vacation time, and John and I did one of the craziest things he and I have ever done. It was a beautiful day in Gatlinburg. We were having a great time. I remember us going to Wendy's for lunch. And then we decided we would team up together and do a bungee jump. This is your faithful pastor. You know, sometimes people get this idea that pastors can't have fun. They see us as we carry the load, and it is a heavy responsibility that we carry as pastors and ministers. But behind all that, sometimes, is a very fun, loving heart that just needs to get away and breathe deeply and let our hair down. Can I say it that way? We looked at each other. Now, I don't recommend going to Wendy's. If you're going to do this, I don't recommend going to Wendy's beforehand. Matter of fact, I don't even recommend doing this. I remember they got us suited up, and our families are down here watching, you know, and it's about time. And they lift us up on this giant lever, and here we are, suspended up in the sky, and somebody has to pull the rope. I said to John, you going to do this? No. Next thing I know, I jerked that thing and startled him. And down we go, and it looks like the pavement's going to come right back up to our face. I said, oh, no, we've got to do this again. We survived to tell the story. It's a fun memory where two of God's servants had the privilege to just have a happy moment together. I think of the years that followed. I think of some of the phone conversations we've had, the text we've had. I know the ebb and flow of life. There have been times I've cried on his shoulder. There are times that he has cried on my shoulder. I always knew that if I needed somebody to pray and intercede, he was just a prayer away. I agree, Brother Nicholas. It's not very common in this day to have pastors just stay by the stuff across the years. I think about some of the young men that were in college with us. Some were very gifted, had an ability to draw the crowd in, speaking abilities that we have never claimed to have. And yet God called us to just stay faithful. Stay faithful. And God honors faithfulness. He rewards faithfulness. And so I want to celebrate today and say thank you, John and Leanne Ziegler, for staying faithful. Thank you for serving this present age. Thank you for standing for truth. Thank you for not selling out the truth. Thank you for standing in the gap for God and for holy living. Thank you for staying in the race, even when it's not popular. And I believe God is going to help you to continue to serve and to finish well. Oh, there's so many things I could share. I thought about when we were at Whitehall and we needed a block layer. And you said it right, Caleb. Your dad can do about anything. We were in a room addition project there at this little church, and you know, pastors are always looking for friends to help them out. And I knew John could lay block or do that kind of work, and so I twisted his arm so hard it was starting to snap, and he did show up and laid the block for that new room addition at that parsonage, a place where he will never, ever have a call to pastor, but he invested. He invested his time and his talents. As they were singing a few minutes ago, the faces. I thought, all along the road of life, he has made investments in men and women, just like you. And I feel compelled to remind you this morning how blessed you are to have a pastor who stays at the stuff. One of the three criterias that I have for anyone who joins our staff at our church is the ability to plod. The ability to plod. The first time I explained that to that candidate, that first candidate, he kind of looked at me like, really? I think maybe there was something else that would have been more important or a higher priority, but really, I strongly believe that God calls us to just stay faithful when the tide is high and when the tide is low, when things are going well, when people are applauding, and then when they're not maybe on our fan club. We all face times of test. But when you stay faithful, God reminds us that these elders are worthy of double honor. I've thought of that scripture. 1 Timothy 5, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. So God is saying his faithful ministers, and that can be you and me. Every single one of us are called to be like Jesus, to be faithful in our place of duty wherever he calls us, so that he will be glorified and he will be lifted up. I thank God for the great memories. John, Leanne, I want to thank you for the friendship. We have our flaws. We're not perfect. A faithful friend who can find. I think all of us look for a friend who will stand by us and stick with us through every season of life, through every circumstance, when the sun is shining brightly, and maybe when the storm is raging. And the longer I live, the more I realize how tough it is to find that kind of a person. No doubt much of what you are experiencing in your forward and future vision here at Wise Ball is a result of those years of planting the seed. Deeds of kindness, acts of love, compassion, showing up at the hospital when there's 10 other things a pastor could do with his time. It's very uncommon these days to find a pastor who will show up and sit for hours with a family or maybe stay through the night hours. Society has changed and ministers have changed. And so you have a rare and faithful pastor and wife, and you should thank God for them. I'm wrapping this up with some words from Dr. Paul Kaufman that spoke profoundly to me a number of years ago. He was speaking at a missionary service. He had about 10 minutes to present that night, and he said he really didn't know what to present, but here's what he gave. And it connected with so many of our pastors and our missionaries. It's called The Watcher. It's from Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 11 through 12, where the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah, saying, "What seest thou?" And he said, "I see a rod of an almond tree." Then said the Lord unto me, "Thou hast well seen, for I will hasten or watch over my word to perform it." These two verses from the first chapter of Jeremiah were spoken to the prophet of his call into the prophetic office. The young man had just informed the Lord that he was but a lad, too young and inexperienced to fill the office of the Lord's spokesman to Judah. By way of encouraging Jeremiah, and this is my encouragement to John and Leanne today, God asked him to look around the landscape of his hometown of Anathoth, just 3 miles north of Jerusalem, and declare what he saw. At that early spring season, the hills around were sparkling with the lovely white blossoms of almond trees. The very list of any plants, the first of any plants or trees to put forth shoots in late winter. Notice how the Lord makes a play on words on the name of this tree that closely resembles the blossoms of the cherry trees in our country. The ancients who had to come up with a name for the almond tree knew that it was the first of all trees to awaken out of its winter dormancy. It seemed to be watching over the rest of the sleeping vegetation still in its winter hibernation. So they gave the tree a Hebrew name, and they gave it that name, the almond tree, that is watching over like a sentinel the rest of the sleeping vegetation on the hills of Judah. God wanted his prophet to take courage, since every time he walked into Jerusalem to preach and to pronounce the coming judgment, God would be watching over him. So likewise, no matter what you encounter in the days ahead, in your task of serving the Lord and my building project, could test any man's nerves. Been there. So no matter what you face, I challenge you to remember that the God of eternity, the God who is faithful and true, is right there by your side, watching over you and empowering you through the Holy Spirit to take that next step, to make that next decision, to write that next sermon, to step into that hospital and offer the comfort that only a godly shepherd can give. That God is faithful and true even to 1,000 generations. I'd like to invite the Ziegler's to come and stand before this congregation. I'd like for their family to surround them. Sister Hillegas, would you provide some music? I would like to pray a prayer blessing over them. I invite the congregation to stand. Any board members, any church leaders that would like to come and surround them, I would like for us to pray a prayer blessing over the next 30 years. Can we pray together and thank God, first of all, for his faithfulness? Thank God for the investment that the Ziegler family has made in the kingdom of God. Thank God for being faithful to this couple, to their family. anyone else would like to come and join them, you're welcome. You're welcome. And then let's trust God together for what he has promised. Our Father, which art in heaven, holy, holy, holy is thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What a beautiful, beautiful worship experience today to recognize your hand of mercy and grace and power and wisdom upon John and Leanne Ziegler and their ministry. 30 years. Eternity will reveal the faces, the lives, the people, the men, the women who have found Jesus, who are in the presence of God today because of the investment made across the years. Lord, I thank you for the saints who have supported them. Thank you for the saints at Evansville across the years that loved on this parsonage couple and their family and gave them time to grow and mature and develop their leadership skills, and their investment is also very evident today as the work continues in the ministry of the Zieglers here at Wise Ball. Lord, I thank you for this local congregation that has loved on them, supported them, encouraged them, ministered to them at times. Just one word or two of appreciation that has encouraged them to keep faithful in the call to the ministry. Now, Lord, today you see what we cannot see. You know the heartaches. You know the burdens. You know us better than we know ourselves. And so we pray that the blessed Holy Spirit would fill the heart of Pastor John Ziegler again with your divine love, so that when we love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, it's so easy to reach out and love the unloved around us. And all across this community and across Martin County, there are men and women who need Jesus. And this couple, John and Leanne, and this congregation desire your blessing and your approval and your favor to continue to do what you have called them to do. And so the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you. Are we dismissed? Thank you for joining us today. God bless each one of you with a wonderful Lord's Day.